Hello world, this is Ivan Almeida from Cape Verde Islands, West Africa. You're listening to the Coach D podcast, man. Let's get it.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, near or far, high or low. You're listening to the Coach D podcast, and listeners, I have a very dynamic guard in this studio with me today, but please, let's introduce this high-level athlete the right way. Listeners, stepping on the court at 6'6" by way of Cape Verde, we have a true basketball maestro gracing our virtual court. Hailing from his area, he's not only a Portuguese league champion with Benfica, but also a former Polish Super Cup MVP, showcasing his prowess on the European stage. His approach to the game has taken him to incredible heights, mastering the pick and roll and leading his team in victories and representing his homeland with unmatched pride. From championship triumphs to international glory, he has really left a mark on the basketball world. Today, we're going to unravel the secrets behind his skill development, his experiences on the court, and the unique blend of leadership and fitness that defines his game. Listeners, please give a warm welcome to Ivan Almeida.
Oh, Roy, you made me laugh. Thank you, man. Appreciate the introduction, man. It's a pleasure to be here. And like you said, good morning, good afternoon, or good night to whatever you're listening from.
Yes, sir.
And thank you for having me in the show.
Absolutely, man. It's a pleasure. Just before we even just, you know, get into your resume, just as a basketball player, I mean, just talk to me right now. You know, we're in the early first quarter even of the 2024, so you know, how is your physical and how is your mental right now?
Damn. You caught me on a tough time. Now right now I got an injury in my hip, a muscle, so I'm kind of doing a recovery now. They gave me 6 weeks, but I'm good, so I can play basketball, but I'm still practicing. Mine is very well, very strong,
right?
Because I've been through a lot of this, so I don't get down. This is the time where I put all my focus on getting back stronger than I was before.
Here we go. And just, you know, I kind of want to just take it back a bit and just really, you know, discuss your introduction into, I mean, to me, basketball is my favorite sport. I think that's why the globe, the world is shaped like a basketball, because that's how dope basketball is, you know. But that's it. For yourself, where was you when a ball was placed in your hands for the very first time?
Man, I was in Cape Verde. I was only 11. I was coming from, it was a Saturday. I was coming from karate practice because I was doing karate.
Nice.
For two full year and a half or two. Coming from soccer, I quit soccer at 8, 9, and then I started karate. So I was coming from that practice. We stopped at the gym, at the main gym in Praia, in Cape Verde. And there's two courts. There's one outside and one indoor gym. They're right next to each other, but it got walls. So my dad was like, "Oh, let me see. I want to stop here and see who is who's playing inside." So you got to come in through the outside courts to go through the indoor one. And I saw them. It was a school called Ami Basket. By Professor Francisco Romero. He's Cuban. He went to Cape Verde. He's been there a long time. He was teaching. He had a school with kids, you know, all dressed in white, and they were doing basketball drills.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, that's so cool. I was like, that's what I want to do. You know, I've been in touch with basketball before, but not like that. You know, I would see my brother go play, but it wasn't like that. That one shot, like, it hit me like epiphany, like an epiphany. You know, like, that's what I want to do. So my dad went in and talked to the professor, and then I started the following weekend. You know, I never quit. Every day.
See,
didn't know nothing. Just started from zero, no talent. I wasn't picked up. I wasn't nothing. I was like, yeah, I want to learn. You know.
That's quite dope, because I mean, even for myself, you know, coming from a martial arts background where you kind of just learn self-discipline as
the first,
in terms of breathing, how to really control your body and movements. Did you find that even when you first started to play, even though the skills such as shooting, passing, dribbling might have been new to you, but just in terms of, did you feel like you have a little bit of an advantage because you kind of already knew how to control your body and things of that nature?
Yeah, I kind of, you know, when you do martial arts, you get control of your body.
Yes.
Even if you, like, even if it's in the early ages, like 8, 9, 10, and because I was doing soccer too, I think I already had some kind of footwork.
Right.
But that discipline, with soccer, we used to wake up and, you know, I used to have practices at 7 a.m., 6 a.m., you know.
Wow.
Yeah. So I kind of had like kind of discipline to coming into it.
Right.
Where when I started and, you know, I really loved it. Like I was excited to just learn. Just coming into it, having that discipline, that body control. Yo, I don't remember a time when I was young that I would get tired. Like I always wanted more.
Yeah.
More, you know, like, it's kind of like I was always starving for it.
Right. Oh, man. And I think every basketball player kind of has that moment, whether it's in a practice, shoot around, or even in a game, you know, when it's really tense, that they realize that they're nice at basketball. So just for yourself, you know, when was that moment you realized you was nice at basketball?
Well, I was nice. I don't think there was a time in my early ages.
Okay.
People like my friends now they talk to me, they said like, it's like, yeah, you really started getting nice at 16, 17, you know?
Okay.
So it's probably, that's what they told me. Like, so like, that was the time when I was like, I really started jumping. I really started like, my dribbling was a little better. I think at 15, 16, what they tell me is like they saw the first time someone dunk on a game that was that young, and it wasn't a regular dunk with two hands, like, you know, boom, it was a run the cradle.
Arzali.
and my friend, like, they talked to me, they were like, yeah, you went to Spain, because I had like a break where I went to Spain with my parents for vacation, and the league was still going, and when I came back, like, I was practicing in Spain all alone with my uncle that used to live in US too, that he's a basketball fanatic. He used to practice and stuff, and when I came back, I was doing all this stuff, like, and actually the coach I had never played me at center position, you know. I think that was one of the good things. He always talked to me. He's like, I want you to do everything on the court.
Nice.
You know.
Nice.
So that kind of like kept me at developing my skills and not just playing one position. So when I came back, like, I was playing every position. He would put me at 5, 1. Now you bring the ball. Now you play shooting guard. Now you play the 3. And stuff like that. And so I kind of developed all those skills. And when I came back around 15, 16, and I was doing all those stuff in the league, my friends was like, now they talk to me, they're like, yeah, you were the deal for us.
Right.
One of them, like, they're like, yeah, we would go watch the games just to see what you're going to do next.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Yeah. I mean, just even kind of just like starting just with your Portuguese basketball journey, you know, I mean, you have quite the journey, you know, in the Portuguese basketball. I mean, winning the league championship, you know, just last year with Benfica. Kind of just take us through the emotions that come to mind when you reflect and just the experiences of that championship season.
I got here February, so May 2022.
Right.
It's amazing, bro. Because when I was in Poland, we won for my first time. I was winning a championship in Europe. 2017 till 2019, 2 years in a row, just to be able to bring my experience here to Portugal back. And you know, and they were in difficulty. They had troubles with teams like Sporting, and they contacted me to be like, we want to hire you because we need a change in the team and stuff. And I think your mentality can help us change the team. And you know, I think that is that one of the moments I felt proud that of the way I changed myself to approach the game since when I got to Poland. So it was one of the things that when they got me here to Benfica, they were like, "Yeah, we want you to come in, but we want a new mentality in here." So you see, like they appreciate and they respect your winning mentality that you carry yourself with. So it goes a lot to say that the organization is very well built, and also your teammates is very important for you to be able to achieve those things. So for me, it's been a blessing, man. Luck or not, I think it's a blessing to be able to put everything together and see the sacrifices everybody make on a team to achieve the same goal.
You see, and just even just touch on, because I think this is something that, I mean, especially with social media now, you're seeing so many wins at all levels. And I think some people don't even take into consideration the hard work, the dedication, the putting up shots, the, you know, you're still making mistakes, but you're getting better day by day, the frustrations, the injuries, battling. So just if you could give people, you know, just the ingredients that made that team successful, whether it was the strategy side, whether it was just the team being cohesive, like what really was the main ingredients to winning that championship, would you say?
It's everything, man. It's whether for, like you said, from people with injuries, your physiotherapist, to your coach saying like this is what we should do, or people putting extra work, coming after hours to shoot and stuff like that. Everything counts, every little detail. And you know, individually, I think you got to prepare yourself for everything.
Absolutely.
I go get extra shot, gym work, physiotherapist. I was in the physio like every day the year I got here, because I was coming from an injury. I had a reconstructive surgery of ligaments on my left foot when I signed here. Every day I was with a physiotherapist. I don't think I had like a day off or two.
Wow.
In 2022. So it was constant. For me, the responsibility that I knew that I had carried that they got me here, I knew that I had to get my body to a certain level.
Right.
Where whenever it was called upon, whatever I needed to do, playing the three, playing the four, or playing the two, I could help the team. And also, not just help the team, myself, but also to be in practice, to give more than 100% so I can get my teammates better.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So just that's individual. Then you got the coaches, you got the physiotherapists, you got the GMs, the decisions they're making. That's stuff you can't control. So for me, I focus on what I can control, like the camaraderie in the group, making sure everybody is good too, knowing who I can push, knowing the getting to know every player, the position they play. You know, when a coach comes with a play, usually I don't just memorize my position.
Here we go.
I understand what he wants from all the angles of the play.
That's huge.
So when coach comes and I'm doing the play at a three, and he's like, "Yeah, now you go to four. You want us to run the play so you can see it?" No, I already know it.
Right.
And they would be surprised. So I'm not wasting your time.
Yes.
I'm actually studying the game too. Like I spent hours and hours at home too, sometimes just going through my games and the games we play.
Right.
Seeing mistakes so I can visualize things.
Right.
Because basketball is a game of reaction. You don't have time to think what you're going to do. Like, if your body got it registered on your mind, then you just do it.
Yes.
So you don't have time to think. So the more information you got, the better decision your body will take.
There we go. And I mean, you even just highlighted there. And was that something that came later on, just in terms of, you know, you just discussing?
It came later on. Oh. The game plans.
Yeah.
You watch your film.
Yeah.
Came later. It came when I got to Poland.
Oh.
It's when I changed my mentality.
Right.
Like I was telling you, I got to Poland in 2017. I wanted to be a champion. And they were like, because before we didn't have, I didn't have extensive video like that in the other places I play, like in France, Broadway. Usually you just go watch film, you watch the players. Like in Poland, I had like Croatian coach, Igor Milicic, who's now the coach of a team in the Italian league. And he had an assistant. Yo, the guy is like amazing at video.
Wow.
So I would, Coach Milicic, you know, this is when you see a coach is great. He came to me, he's like, yeah, you should talk to the assistant coach to get you some films on whatever you need. You know what's the first thing I asked him?
Talk to me.
Usually players go and ask for highlights.
Sure.
I was like, I want a highlight of every bad thing I do on the court.
Okay. Okay.
So it started like that. So now from getting a highlight of every bad thing I do on the court, we went to getting films of defensive, our defensive stuff, our offensive stuff, defensive stuff of the other team, offensive stuff of the other team. Because it's not just watching their plays, you're watching how they defend.
Because
I got to know how I attack them.
Yes.
I got to know how they attack so I can know how I defend them. I would spend, like, usually before a game, I would watch 3 games of the other team. And then I would watch all these 4 clips he would send me. Their defensive, offense, player, breakdown and stuff. And I'll be good. So, in Poland is where, like, I really started craving for watching film.
Right. Right. And, I mean, I think it's one thing to wear, you know, a jersey that represents, you know, your local team or the club that you play for. But I mean, it must be a whole nother honor, especially representing your homeland on the international stage. So, I mean, one, you know, how does your connection to your homeland influence your approach to the game? And, you know, just what does it mean to wear your national colors as well?
Man, it just, for me, it's a big responsibility because France or whatever I was, just to be able to be on the court and people be like, who's that kid? Where's that kid from? And they'd be like, oh, he's from Cape Verde. Where's Cape Verde? Like, I got a big responsibility. Like, I'm probably an ambassador that could open doors to kids from my country.
100%.
Kids that probably need opportunity to get out of a situation where they could help their family later on. So whenever I stepped on that court, I have to make sure I do my best and leave it all there because I don't just play for myself. I play for a greater cause, you know. It's not just me on the court.
Right.
Especially because I play for the national team of Cape Verde. The way I carry myself can influence a lot on a future kids from my country that look up to us.
Right. Right. And, I mean, you even just highlighted it early, just in terms of your strategy on the game. You know, like, how do you navigate the court just in terms of reading defenses and even just contributing effectively to your team's success as well?
My first thing is come to defense. Like, yeah. I want to annihilate the player I'm playing again.
That's all, okay.
Yeah. So I try to, like, always tell coach to put me in their best player. Yeah. In Poland, used to do that a lot. If their best player used to be point guard, I was guarding him. like until position four, I wouldn't guard the five. Five sometimes would double. Right. But whenever there was a player that played guard, from guard until like power forward, I'll try to make sure I was guarding him.
Right.
Because I want that, not just stop the player individually.
Yes.
But stop the team from getting what they want.
There we go. That's key.
So
that's key.
That's the first thing. The second thing is I want to put as much pressure as I can on you offensively, so my teammates can get open shots. So whenever I'm on the court, let's talk about a simple situation, fast break.
Right, right.
I'm playing defense. Play defense, they shoot, you box out, you get the rebound. I had the ability to push the ball.
Right.
So whenever I'm pushing the ball, I got to make sure I push the ball as fast as I can first, and I'm not just looking to score for myself.
Right, right.
When I got the ball. Like, I wasn't looking to just score for myself. My coach was like, yeah, go with the mentality to score. But I realized from playing all my previous years, that's what I used to always do. Like, I would go try to break coast to coast by myself. I started looking who's open on the court because we had great shooters. So as soon as I bring the ball down, sometimes it would be a one picking me up. So now you're on a mismatch position.
Right, exactly.
If the one picks me up, sometimes the five is mismatched to stuff like that. And what happens when I drive middle?
Yeah.
So whenever I drive middle,
right,
like other players are rotating to come and help.
Yes.
And I'm kicking out, going, keeping the movement, getting the ball again, and then attacking again. But I didn't just attack to score. I attack with the mentality that somebody's going to be open because I'm in a mismatch situation.
There you go.
Already. Another team is playing pick and rolls, and they switch. My coach would be like, just clear everybody out and take the shot. So one of the things I would do, I'll clear everybody out. And you know, like when you ISO,
yes,
players tend to go in.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't even need to be playing one-on-one. I could just make the overhead pass to somebody in the corner in this shot because everybody's like sagging in.
That is true.
Playing kind of next defense.
Right, you know, right.
Just reading the game. Now, like in Poland, I was really in control of how I see the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that is just because watching film, right, understanding where the helps are coming from, you know, and seeing who's open.
And even, see, just on that, this is how I just, and even just watching your game, you can really tell just how you move offensively and defensively. Even when you don't have the ball in your hands, you really study the game at a high level. And kind of just, you know, one thing I like is you even start with just your approach to game is defense, you know. And I think that especially, you know, I mean, I'm seeing a change. I mean, obviously it's more fun and exciting at times to see the highlight reels offensively, but just defensively, could you talk about, because I'm quite big on, you know, you never guard, you know, all five players the same way. You know, some players might be right hand dominant, left hand dominant, some light contact, some don't. So just in terms of defensively, what are you reading to expose a person's weaknesses and not allowing that shooter or attacker to get to their spots?
I'm trying to see, like, I've guarded players who can do everything.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with the players that can do everything because they almost, I kind of put myself, for me, it's easier because I can do a little bit of everything too. I put myself always in that situation first. Usually the best players, they kind of do everything. So whenever I'm guarding them, imagine I'm guarding a point guard.
Right.
I'm not playing my position, my natural position. I'm going to guard a point guard that he has to put the team playing first.
Yes.
The coach will go crazy if the point guard is taking all the shots and nobody else touching the ball, right?
Sure.
So for me, I would let the point guard think he got an advantage so he can try and go score.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Since I'm 6'6 and long, I can jump. I'm almost as quick as a point guard. I'm not going to say I'm as quick as them. I'm not. but I'm almost as quick as them. I can cover ground.
Right.
So sometimes I would influence them to one hand. And usually what I would do with point guard, I would influence them to their strong hand because they would feel comfortable in going for a layup. And I would cut them off and block the shot.
Okay.
I actually did that on a playoff in Poland. And you know, the guy wouldn't even score 10 points a game. Their coach would be mad at them. I would actually look at the reaction of the bench. I'm always looking to the coach's bench to see what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Cause I want to see what's the energy going, to in the game. Cause you know, usually you can look at the bench and see if the coach is frustrated or not with their players.
That's true.
So I would look to see whatever I'm doing, if it's correct. So point guards, I'm trying to put them in a position where they're not distributing the ball, where they're not playing to the side. They want to play the pick and roll. Imagine they need to play the pick and roll because usually point guards have a tendency of playing pick and rolls going to the right side so they can have that pass with the right.
Right.
So if I'm influencing you to your, I'm sending you to the strong side. Right. Since I'm tall and long,
yes,
I'm not going for a steal. I'm sending you to the screen. But when you come off that screen, I'm protecting the long pass.
Right.
With my high hands. And since you are smaller than me, you're not going to be able to look at it. So my only goal at that point is just getting through that screen. So I don't want to get hit. So I can pressure the ball high with them where I influence them one hand and I'm not giving up anything. And as soon as they come, I'm protecting that high pass. All of a sudden, you don't have that kick corner pass when you play the pick and roll up top.
Right.
And what you left to it is drive to the basket. And I can cover that too.
Man, you were a sightless defensive end.
Yeah, so I'm trying to always put you in positions where the player feels like he got an advantage of me, but at the end of the day, I'm going to make you take a contested shot over me, over a 6'6", that player that can jump.
Right.
And I'm trying to make you feel comfortable, but take you that away, you know, like I'm giving you one cookie and then taking it away,
right?
Like, you know, I'm not giving it to you,
right?
You know, that's what my kind of approach, you know, like, so if I'm guarding a wing, usually they're shooters, I'm closing out, but I don't need to close out so close because I'm long and I can use my hands. It's also understanding your body.
Yes.
So I'm closing out where you don't have a shot and you got to put the ball on the floor. And now I move my foot and you got to pass the ball. So I'm doing a lot of little tricks where I play with my abilities and positioning.
Mm-hmm.
It's a combination of both.
Right. Right. And I mean, especially just at that level, you know what I mean? Because you're competing with players who not only have high IQ, but such a high skill level for yourself, you know, just in the pursuit of continuous improvement, what specific aspects of your game have you really focused on developing over the years?
So one of the things I developed a lot was my defense.
Okay.
The other thing was pick and roll, offense. And, just expanding on in Poland, I really expanded to on playing point guard. So that was one of the things that really got to me. Also, like, just studying the game and understanding it. Also, too, I got to credit that to having a coach that really cared. You know, he saw that I was hungry. And that I really wanted to win. He showed me how to. You know, and I was opening for it. I told him, here to win. I won the championship. And I was willing to do everything. There was points in playoff where we would have, you know, like when you're in playoff, you don't really practice a lot.
Right.
Usually we would have like 1 hour practices. And I'll stay there after practice shooting and doing stuff. And one time he came in the gym and was like, come on, Ivan, go home. You know, yeah. No. You know, it's, and you know, I was like about 28, 29, you know, like, for me, it's like I said, I don't feel like, you know, there's some players I go to practice and be like, I can't wait to practice be done.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, it's like, I want to keep going, you know, like,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Even at this age, like, well, I'm 34 right now, I still have that, like, that mentality, yeah, like, I want to get better. It's not being the gym, it's learning, you know, like, I want to learn more, you know, you know.
Man, see, that's the difference between, you know, good athletes and great athletes. You know, some athletes are comfortable reaching that ceiling and they kind of stay there, whereas for yourself and others, and it shows in your game, you are continuous students of the game, and each year, each season, you're just adding that 1% this season, 2% the next season until you...
I still don't feel like... The thing is that I still don't feel I reached my top.
Okay.
And, you know, and a lot of my friends come to me and be like, damn, like, you used to be like this, you used to be like that. I was like, yeah, but when I go look back at it, like, you know, I got films of all my games and, you know, on my computer. I'd be like, yeah, maybe I was more athletic, maybe I ran more, but, you know, I transform a lot of those stuff into other stuff.
Right.
So, and I look at it, people be like, damn, you used to jump this high. And then I go and I find a clip for me this year, like, jumping as high. And, you know, but now I didn't just, like, try to score.
Right.
Before, I was like, I was a guard that was scoring mentality.
Yes. Yeah.
So, but now I can do a lot of other things.
Right.
So, the funny thing is that in Poland, some team came to play at our home, and they left the scout report there.
Okay.
And I was reading it. It had one phrase on it. Don't let them catch the ball.
Oh, wow. Okay. I forget about that. That says it all right there.
I was like, oh, damn.
Oh, man. I like that scout report.
You know, like, and that stuff like that is like, it's pleasing to see, but I don't take it for granted at all. I gotta be like, okay, right, now I made it. No, I want more.
Yes, still hungry.
Yeah.
Still hungry. Yeah. And just even on that, you know, your Polish Super Cup triumph, you know, winning the Polish Super Cup and being named MVP, you know, is an impressive accomplishment. So can you kind of reflect on that experience, but also how it has shaped your career as well?
Yeah, that was one of the first trophies I got in Poland when I first got there, because they stayed in first place the year before, but they were eliminated in the playoffs on the first round, and we were playing the Super Cup, and you know, I had just got there, and we won it. But I don't like to credit like MVPs and stuff like that, especially now getting older and more mature.
Right.
It's nice for the resume, but it don't really mean nothing to me right now, playing, because I think those are stuff that get you to a place where you don't need. Because for me, it's all about team. You know, like it's nice individual trophies, nice to have, show, da, da, da. But the most important thing is the team, and make sure that the team is me. All the accolades that come with it for me is just, I don't really pay too much attention to it.
Right. I hear that. And I mean, just, you know, you kind of spoke about it earlier, just in terms of your, as a guard, you know, the pick and roll mastery. I mean, you know, it's such a crucial element of modern basketball today. And as a guard, you know, how do you approach pick and roll situations, and what reads do you make to really maximize the effectiveness of that situation?
For me, for pick and roll, it got really simple. Because, first of all, you got to know what your coach wants from you, and why are you playing that pick and roll on that certain play?
Right.
You know, some coaches play the pick and roll, you know, on the elbow, going outside in, so you can hit that short roll. So you the player playing pick and roll really got to understand why he's playing that pick and roll, because usually players, what they go do, they play the pick and roll either to score or, you know, just to pass, but they want to pass for an assist. And usually to the players don't play pick and roll just to like move the ball and get a better shot. One, two pass, extra pass, and shot. So my approach is like, first of all, is like, what is the play designed for? When I play the pick and roll, what the coach wants, where wants the ball to get, where he wants the ball to get. It's me reading defense, where the defense helps is coming from. So we have that on scout before the games. So
Right.
since we, like, I'm gonna talk about the situation born. We knew exactly if they're gonna show or they're gonna contain or they're gonna switch.
Right.
So for me, it gets easy because I already anticipate what is gonna happen. So when I play, it's just a question of like doing the good reads. So imagine we play a team that shows.
Right.
The two passes I got, I'm not trying to make hero passes, what I call passes for assist. No, yeah. So you gotta understand. They show you got a your release pass, which is right in front of you or right in your back, or you got the short roll,
Right.
depending on what position you're playing the pick and roll on. If I played in the middle, usually it's harder for players if they're playing show defense. Usually it's the guy in the bottom that's helping if he short rolls on the top of the key.
Right.
It's hard for them to come get that steal. So usually I'd look for that.
Right.
But you also got to be aware that that's why it's important to watch film and watch how they play defense, because you got to watch players who are playing tricks too. Players who
True.
like,
That is true. That is true.
players who sometimes, yeah, you gotta, this is why it's important.
Yeah.
You gotta understand that some players that have the same physical ability as you, like, which are athletic, sometimes they tend to cheat and go for that steal. So that's why it's important for you to watch defense. So when you play pick and rolls, you know which players on the court, always be aware of that. So when you play the pick and roll, you know where your pass is gonna be and how you're gonna make that pass.
Right.
Because it's completely different. You're making a bounce pass, you're making an over the head pass, or you're making a straight pass. You know? So for me, I combine all those things, and playing the pick and roll, my approach is like, who's on the court right now playing defense? Where do I have to get the ball to so we can get a better chance of scoring or extra pass and score? So that used to be my approach. But it all goes with scouting.
Yes.
You got good scouting. The coach would work with us during the week, all those stuff too. So it's, and you know, it comes with discipline. Not being greedy, don't make the hero pass. Sometimes a simple pass is the best pass.
That is true.
Sometimes
That's true.
sometimes the pass to your teammates so your teammate can get to your other teammate is the best solution.
Right.
Don't try to get it to the teammate that's going to score directly, because it's a harder pass. Just make the simpler one,
Yes.
you know, and don't get caught up on that. Sometimes you get caught up to being too greedy. So I'm not playing the game looking for assist or playing the pick and roll looking for assist. I'm playing the pick and roll looking where the ball going next, or what do I have, what decision I have to take so we can get a better percentage shot.
See, and even when, because especially at that level,
Yeah.
you know, it's so heavily scouted. The team, the coach, the whole staff know what plays you're going to run, the inbounds, sidelines, out of bounds, full court press, zone press. They know your tendencies. So going into that type of game, do you, as a player, do you run decoy plays or like how do you approach a
I
team
used
that
to
has such a heavy scout?
tell Gush to run decoy plays for me.
Okay.
Sometimes they're I've They replace, and then the coach started doing it too. And he would put three plays of the team never seen before. Like, it would be completely new plays that we would run right in the beginning of the game.
Okay.
What I would do sometimes in the game, if I recognize some stuff, I'd be like, hey, coach, my player is not helping. Put the point guard running the pick and roll opposite of me, so the paint will be completely open.
There we go. Nice, smart.
You know.
Yep.
Yeah. So
yep.
I don't need to be. I'm a decoy. I don't need to be in the pick and roll. I know I'm gonna get my pick and rolls in the game.
Right.
But I don't mind you being close to me now. But now you gotta make a decision. If we score twice in a row with that pick and roll, now you gotta go help. You're gonna leave me open to catch the ball. Now what you gonna do?
Right.
You're on a close opposition.
Right.
So just stuff like that, or instead of me coming up of a down screen, I set a back screen on the post player, and he go to the basket.
Right.
You know, and they'll be completely out of it.
Right.
So just like those kind of little tricks on offense. Yeah. You understand your offense. You understand, and during the game, you got to also be able to read it on spot, you know, see what your defensive player is doing. Because more than watching film, you got to understand what are the weaknesses of the player guarding you at the exact time of the game. Because sometimes you go in the game, you know, you be feeling good or you be feeling bad. People say like, yeah, defense is all effort. But you, like, as a player, you understand that sometimes some players are down or like they have some little injury on this side. So they influence you another side. So you kind of pick up those reads, you know.
Right.
So I'm always trying to pick up to what the player guarding me is doing, you know.
Right.
You know, if he's like, if he got like a little injury this side, sometimes he protects himself, you know, the way he orients his foot and stuff like that. Does he want me to really play the pick and roll? Like, is he sending me to the screen? So I'm going to bait him that I'm going to the screen and reject the screen, you know, stuff like that, you know.
Right.
Because, you know, like, they don't want me to catch the ball, but they don't want me, like, players usually when they guard me, they don't want to be close to me because I'm fast.
Right.
I got a quick first step, so I got to play with that too, you know.
Yes.
They can go under the screens, so they got to come with me on the pick and roll. So a lot of times I'll do, like, I'll pull one dribble, go between the legs, and go the other side.
Okay.
So now you're done. Like, so you're playing contempt defense, but I can get something out of your contempt defense.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're not close, but you know you got to send it to the screen. So you got to orient yourself a certain way. And I just got to play with how you position on defense.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, man. And just even as a guard, you know, I think just being, just having a good leadership role is super key, you know. So being the key player on the court, you know, how do you embrace your leadership responsibilities within the team, and what values do you instill in your teammates?
Man, your first value that you gotta instill, if you want to instill any value, it's on practice. One of my teammates in Poland at the time, he, you know, I got there, I'm so focused with basketball that when I get somewhere, I'm just like focused on work. And, you know, and we were going out for the first time, like after a month and a half, like, you know, I was like, yeah, let me go out with them and stuff.
Right.
So I go out with them, and then, you know, we started, you know, that camaraderie, that chemistry, you got to build it. And it's stuff like that build it.
Right.
And he was talking to me like, and you know, like he came up to me. He told me, he's like, I really used to hit in your guts. Cause,
oh wow.
You know, you know why? He's like, I was like, why? He's like, every practice you go 150%.
Wow.
It's like, but he's like, you kept doing that every day, and then I was like, it wasn't for show. It's just, you really love the game, and I respect that.
Yes.
And thank you for showing me that.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
If you want to instill values, that's where instill values. Like, every practice, I'm going at you.
Right, right. No question. Right.
So, yeah, no question. So they know I'm you know what that instills? It instills you can count on me every day. Mm-hmm. So every day I'm there.
Right.
Playing bad, making shots. If I'm not making shots, they know they can count on me because every day I go hard.
Yes.
You know, and basketball is not just about making shots.
Right.
If I'm not making shots, I'm going hard, I'm playing defense hard, and I'm doing everything else, I got a reason to be on the court.
Right.
You know? If I'm not making shots, I can make passes.
Right.
Those comes with the skills I acquired over the year. You don't need to put the ball in the basket to make good choice.
Sure.
Defense, the same way.
Sure.
Positioning, being focused. So when you instill those values that a teammate comes to you and be like, I respect you for going hard every day, it's trust. You're building it.
Right.
You know, those are the things that I first look for when I join a team. Like, make sure that your teammates can count on you every day.
Right.
Because if you only play when you want to, it's not good. Because you don't have that same trust, and you yourself as a player won't have the same confidence every game.
Right. Right. See, and man, even just, I think it's just super dopamine. Even kind of just when I self-reflect myself, I just look at, you know, the sport that I love, which is basketball, and just where it's taking me, the people who I've met, and even more so for you, you know, being a pro player, having traveled in so many different places around the world, you know, just kind of stopping at, you know, the basketball culture in Portugal, having immersed yourself in the Portuguese basketball scene, you know, how would you describe the basketball culture in the country, and has it evolved during your career?
Here in Portugal, it has evolved a lot.
Okay.
From when I started. You actually see, like, there's a teammate of mine that we played together in Guimarães, and I can see the way he is now. Like, he's way better than before.
Nice.
We actually put Benfica the first time in the Champions League ever in his history, like, last year. This was our second year participating in the competition.
Right.
So we did it again, but, you know, just to see the whole culture change. When I got here, there would only be like a few people in the gym sometimes for the, you know, the lower league games, you know, like the games that, you know, against the weaker teams.
Right.
But now even against the weaker teams, there's more people in the gym. So you see a change, like the winning mentality coming from within the team, and you can actually see changes going, you know.
Right.
Throughout the organization and around the team too. So it's a pleasure to see that. Also in Cape Verde, you know, us making the World Cup last summer. You see how the kids at home, because we were there for about a week and a half, see how the kids
kind of
go watch our practices. They're like, even my son, you know, like he's seven, but I don't force him to play basketball. Because, you know, I think sports, it needs to be breeded with love.
Absolutely.
And
well said. Well,
when he saw we qualified in, I think in February.
Okay.
And there was the news that Cape Verde qualified for the World Cup. And my son called me and said, I want to be a basketball player like you. You know, like, yeah, for me, it's like, yeah. I'm pretty sure, like, a lot of other kids too was inspired with us. So, just seeing that, like, just seeing the way you can change, you can change people. We're actually ambassadors to new stuff. Yeah. So it really goes without saying that. So take the stuff serious if you do it. We're talking about basketball sports is something that has a lot of effect on people, but it carries out to your life too, and the way you carry yourself on your personal life too, you know.
And I probably only felt 10% of what you felt when your son said, you know, I want to be a basketball player like you. But I mean, just to have that homeland support and just to, oh man, that feeling for you just must have been undescribed.
I can't even put it in words.
Yeah. I get it, man, for real. And just even on that note, just, you know, the final question before we just get into the third and fourth quarter, which I like to call the quick hitter segment, is just what are your future aspirations, just in terms of, you know, when you kind of look ahead, what are your goals and your aspirations for your basketball career? And are there any specific achievements or milestones that you're aiming for this upcoming season?
Win, bro.
Yes, sir.
Win.
You know that.
That's all I think about is winning.
All right.
I'm like I told you before, I still don't feel like I reached my peak.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody talk like, we usually hit your peak at 26, 28. That's football players. Basketball usually between your 31, 32, 33. I still don't feel I reached my peak. Just at 34 right now, I was playing the World Cup.
Right.
And I felt great on the court playing against players who was on the NBA. I played against Luka Doncic. I was guarding him.
Right.
You know, and just like going through my bag of defensive tricks that I was doing on him and having him have like a less efficient night. Like, it's still like, I'm still like, people be like, oh, so when are you going to finish your career? I was like, I always said one thing, when the love for the sport dies and, you know, actually, you know, your body too counts. When those two meet, then I'll say goodbye. But until I have that fire in me that I get on the court and I want to win, right, I must still play.
Right. I like that. And even just like when you're, you know, guarding players of that stature, you know, you kind of just mentioned guarding Luka. What are you looking at? Are you testing out a few things? Because I'm sure you've got...
Oh, you don't test those players.
Got a report. Yeah. For sure.
There's no testing. Like, your focus, you gotta be maximum focus. Like, I know he steps back on the left side and stuff like that. The whole report I had on him, like,
right.
Yeah, I'm trying to take... My goal was, like, I really, like, guarding... when I was guarding him, it was like, I'm not giving you anything, like, That was my whole goal going into that game. Like, not give him an inch of making him feel comfortable. So, my whole goal was, like, the only time he was very effective was on the pick and rolls.
Right.
He's an amazing player playing the pick and roll, bro.
Right.
He's tall like me. Like, and when we would do the pick and rolls and I'm going, he can actually find all the passes he can, you know?
Right.
So, but the one-on-one defense, he started trying to play that in the beginning of the game, and then he saw he couldn't, and then he started putting me in pick-and-roll situation.
Right.
And, you know, that's when he got more of his assist, and also on the open court when there's mismatches. But other than that, you know, just going into the game, you like those players, you don't go in like, yeah, it's better for him just to shoot jump shots than I'm not.
Right.
Like, I know that I have the physical abilities to stay in front, be close in pressure. So, one-on-one, like, I'm really focused. You're not getting anything.
Right. Love that. And, you know, just kind of transitioning into the quick hitter segment of the third quarter, I'm super curious just to get your thoughts on this. Is the first one I got for you is, what would you say is a skill that is taught by many but only mastered by a few?
Taught by many, only mastered by a few?
Right.
there's two, actually.
Two, okay, talk to me.
Yeah, how to play the game.
Okay.
And the competitiveness.
Why do you mean that? Speak on that. I like it.
So, everybody will teach you how to play basketball. every coach. But the ones who will master the game is the players who are willing. You can, you as a coach, I know you know that, you can go and teach any kid basketball.
True.
But not every kid will take what you teach them and bring it to another level.
That's true. Very true.
You know, and when I say how to play the game, that involves shooting, reading, defense, everything. Because not every kid has the same fire in him.
Right.
To learn.
Right.
My dad used to give me an advice. He's like, you can't help someone who doesn't want help.
Yeah. So true. So true.
You know, and competitiveness, I don't think you can teach that.
Right.
It comes from within, yeah. Which is like, it comes with your values. It's like, how bad do you want it? So do you really just want to win, or you want to win with an exclamation mark?
Right. Right.
Like, I want to win where I leave you no doubt that you can be better than me. Like, like that's the way I want to win. I want to win where you'd be like, oof, no. He's not a man to be messed with, you know? Like,
right. Exactly.
Like, I don't want to leave you no doubt of inch that you can come back and have a shot at. Like,
right. Right.
Yeah, I want you to leave the court knowing that, no, there's no chance.
Right.
And that competitiveness.
Right.
That many can try to teach you, but only a few can master that.
That is true. Very true. And you kind of answered my next question. So if there is another one, please feel free to share. But yes. Best piece of advice you ever received?
Best piece of advice. Can it be something indirect?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It wasn't needed to be told. My father at home, every day I would wake up to go to school. High school, I had school at 7:30. I wake up at 7. Every day I would wake up, I'd see my father working. Every day. So that was the big advice I got for my life.
Hell of an example, man. Hell of an example. Yeah.
So every day I woke up. Sometimes I would even wake up at 6. You know, sometimes when you got to examine, like, you'd be like, I wake up at 6 and do a review, right?
Right.
My dad was there to work.
that I was like, that's volumes, man.
Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. At a kid, you don't understand it at that time. You'd be like, well, oh. But when you get older, you'd be like,
yeah. Yeah.
That man probably was waking up at 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
To go to work at 8:30 and come back home at 8
right.
p.m. So he was working from 8:30 a.m. till 8 p.m. at night. And he was waking up at 5:30.
That's range.
So that's if he's biggest advice.
He's still not.
Yeah. That's the biggest advice that I could get in my life.
Right.
And just to see how successful he is in his life. He wasn't a basketball player. He's not a basketball player either. He was computer engineer.
Okay.
So, see and understand his growth. He had been the company at home.
Yes.
And understand that he was the one who brought a mobile network to our country, installed everything and stuff like that. Yeah. So, he changed life. Like, get ready, today is what it is. He's the one who did it. Technologically with the GSM. So me seeing that, that's the biggest piece of advice I could get in my life. Anything you want to do in life, you got to work.
Honorable shout out to Punks Boy. That is powerful, man. For real. Just the final two before we get into the fourth quarter is if it wasn't for basketball, I wouldn't have learned sitting the blank about myself.
Everything.
Okay.
Basketball had taught, teaching me a lot.
Right.
Well, everything in my life, actually. Discipline, Okay, I came with it from playing, from doing martial arts, but really disciplined, really loving something, really putting in the work. You don't play basketball alone, so you're involved with people, dealing, having friendships, networking in that area, you know, managing friendships. You tell me something in life, and I'll give you a basketball example of it.
Here you go. There we go. The final one is, what would the title of your autobiography be?
Cool. They're actually doing it.
Oh.
You know, and I I don't know what I would put on it. But I would like it to be something inspiring. I never thought of it, because you know, I'm not big in self achievement and stuff like that. So I like probably just, you know, I just say just probably like living the dream, or dreams that become real. Something in those lines, you know.
Right.
Or just something with like, I know it's a phrase I used to use a lot, hard work pays off, but something in those lines.
Okay. Okay, I like it. I like it. And just the fourth quarter now, we're going to have just a little bit of fun. So what I like to do with my guests is I give them 10 seconds and they've got a name, five things. Now, these names can be in the NBA or even the WNBA. So the first one, just as an example is, I might say, you've got, just an example, I might say you've got 10 seconds to name five post players, let's say, and then usually when you hear this countdown.
Oh, is that
10, 9,
that's when you could just start
8,
listing them
off. 7,
okay.
You ready?
That's dope. Oh, shit. Damn. You got to count out 10, 9.
Yes, sir.
8.
All right, bet. Okay. First one, the first two, we could start off nice and easy. So you've got 10 seconds to name five players.
Michael Jordan, 10, LeBron James, 9, Allen Iverson.
8.
7, Michael Jordan, LeBron
6,
James, Kobe
5,
Bryant,
4,
Shaquille O'Neal.
3,
let's go.
2, 1.
Clean five with 2 seconds left. Okay, next one. 10 seconds to name five teams.
10, 9,
Evo Votsovic,
7,
Benfica,
6,
Los Angeles
5,
Lakers, Celtics,
4,
Atlanta
3,
Hawks, Chicago
go.
Bulls.
And he put the Chicago Bulls, my team in there. Love that.
Yes.
Love that. Now, okay, I'm going to give you the heads up. These next two guests in the past have struggled with, because you do hear these names, but not as often, and you really hear these names only during a certain period of the season. So let's see how you do with these next two. So you've got 10 seconds to name five coaches.
10, 9,
Eric Spoelstra,
8,
uh-huh.
7,
Roberto Alves,
6,
let's go.
Igor
5,
Milicic,
4, 3,
oh my God.
2, 1.
There you go, Coach Dimitris.
Ah, let's go. Oh, okay. Final. So we got three more left. Next one now. Now, this one, I'm not going to lie. This one, you have the advantage because you play on the international stage. Therefore, these names should be much more closer to home than other guests have struggled with in the past. Let's see how you do. So, you've got 10 seconds to name five international players.
Oh, that's easy.
10, 9,
Luka Doncic,
8,
LeBron
7,
James, Kevin Durant,
6,
Stephen
5,
Curry,
4,
Ivan
3,
Almeida.
2, 1.
Let's get it. Got it with yourself in there. I love it. I love it. Okay. Now we've got the last three. Now these ones are somewhat easy because it really comes down to personal preference. So, 10 seconds, Ivan, to name 5 basketball movies.
Oh,
10, 9,
Love and Basketball,
eight,
classic.
Seven, Coach Carter,
6, 5, 4, 3,
that's
two,
it. Space Jam.
Oh, yes. I'll take that. I'll take that.
1 and 2.
Okay, final two. You have got 10 seconds. You got 10 seconds to give me your top 5 players of all time.
Ooh.
10, 9,
Michael Jordan,
8, 7,
Kobe Bryant,
5,
LeBron James,
4, 3,
Shaquille
2,
O'Neal, Will Chamberlain.
Ooh, Shaq and Will. Okay. And the final one, just before we wrap up, 10 seconds to name 5 artists that get you hyped before a game.
Oof.
10, 9, 8, 7,
Augusto Silva,
6, 5,
Kenny Barbosa,
4,
okay.
3,
Jay-Z,
2,
yep. Elio Badalha, and Kitty Bones.
Ooh, Kitty Bones. Okay, say less. I like that one. Now, I mean,
three
honestly,
artists from Cape Verde.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And listeners, again, I really appreciate your time. Big salute to Ivan just being on the podcast. And listeners, do not worry. All the info will be in this description. But just for the people who want to follow your journey, Ivan, and just follow how you continue your journey and how you progress and just learn more about basketball and just the culture of basketball from your homeland, where can they find you?
Anywhere. Not anywhere, but my Instagram, my Facebook, you can find me there. Just shoot me a message. I definitely will see it. So yeah, if you need anything, I'm always open.
Nice.
With basketball related stuff, so whenever you got a quick question or something you want to ask, just hit me up in my Instagram or Facebook. I won't leave my number because those two social media platforms, you can always find me there.
Perfect. Right, listeners, this is myself, Coach D, and a humble but dynamic guard from Cape Verde, Ivan, signing out.